We are in the book of Psalms for this summer, Summer in the Psalms, and we're moving around to different chapters of that book, and we have a few more weeks before we'll shift to something different in mid-August, and in the next few weeks you'll also have some guest preachers that will be here, and so you can hear their take on different chapters of the book of Psalms, and so you can look forward to that. Today we're in Psalm 42. And so I invite you to open your Bible and turn there so we can attend to the reading of God's Word. As we've looked through the Psalms, I have repeated myself in different ways on multiple Sundays and shared hopefully an encouraging word that the Psalms are a book of the Bible that cover a wide range of human experience and locations. And you can see David, or if it's a different person who authored the particular psalm, or it's the people of God, they're going through a lot of different things. And we go through a lot of different things in life. We can locate ourselves in a lot of different seasons and chapters, and the book of Psalms invites us to take wherever we might be, whatever location or season or chapter of life, and put it into language that we can commune with God, that we can offer it to God. We can proclaim the truths that we know and hold dear, but also be very honest about what we're going through or what we experience or feel at the moment. Today's psalm will be an interesting one for us to look at. I think you'll find it very intriguing, and hopefully you can relate to it in some form as we unpack it. Psalm 42, and I'm going to read the whole psalm for us as we begin verse 1 through 11. So let's tune our hearts and our ears to God's word together. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we humbly and in bold faith ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for nourishing us, for feeding us, for giving us water that does not run dry. But Lord, as we look at these words today, as we consider this prayer from long ago, a prayer for us at different times today, Lord, we ask that you would gently lead us, comfort us, encourage us, and help us to understand what truth you have here in these verses. Help us to hope in you and to rejoice in our salvation, and help us to hope and rejoice in salvation for others, those who are downcast, those who are struggling, those who are wondering where you might be. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The opening image for our psalm today is a popular one. Actually, if you look at books or commentaries on the book of Psalms, this image of a deer panting for water is so pronounced and well known, it kind of carries the book, all 150 Psalms with it. Maybe this particular image and the image from Psalm 23, where the Lord is our shepherd, are two metaphors that we think about when we come to the book of Psalms. And as we look at this opening verse, this illustration that as a deer panting for flowing streams, recognizing its need for survival, looking for water to satisfy its thirst, we're connected with the image of the soul. Our own human souls also long for God, the living God. Early church father and pastor Augustine once said that the human heart is restless until it finds its rest in God. He was on his own spiritual journey, and he penned those words at the beginning of his spiritual autobiography. And what resonates right here at the beginning of Psalm 42 that we can see is that we're made for God. We're made for communion with him. We're made to worship him. We're made to speak to him and to hear from him. And without God in your life, without that sense of centering on him and pursuing him, We're restless. We don't have a center. We don't have a home base. And so the verses here at the beginning of Psalm 42 are rather positive. They speak a word of truth that the human person, our souls, the Hebrew word there is nefesh. And it's not just the inner part of us, the soul, but the Hebrew understanding of that word was our whole beings. Not just what's on the inside and on the outside, but our whole person is meant to live with God. And we thirst for him, and we long for him, and we need him. Even if we don't recognize it for ourselves, we can know that there are people who are troubled and restless because they have not yet found that peace and contentment with God. It's like water, refreshment, for the panting deer. But as we move along in this psalm, although we recognize this positive truth that we need God, we long for him, we want to be in fellowship with him, we see very quickly in this particular prayer that the psalmist is going through something a little bit difficult. There's something challenging the words here in this prayer. Verse 3, we're told, the tears have been my food day and night while they say to me, your own emotions, your own tears are challenging you and making you think, where is God? Where is God? And so we can see that there's a bit of a conversation between the person who knows what he is made for, but his present experience, his present moment, feels that God is distant. God's not there. God's not felt. God's not heard. God seems to be quiet. Silent. That's a hard thing for the person who knows and trusts God, fervently pours out one's soul in prayers to God, and it seems like heaven's door is closed. That's an honest representation of a person struggling at a point of difficulty. If we look at verses 3 and verses 5, we see this question of why is the soul downcast, feeling dejected, discouraged? There's a little bit of a pep talk here at the second half of verse 5. Hope in God, I again shall praise him, my salvation and my God. And I want you to look at verse 4, where the psalmist is recalling and remembering where he would lead worship, lead the assembly into the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. This is a person who had experienced God's blessing, the joy of God's presence. It wasn't foreign to this psalmist. And I believe this particular psalm is written by David. Some of the psalms are not, but this one, I think David, who was a man after God's own heart, would go through times where God felt far away. And he was having a little bit of a self-talk with his own soul. Where is God? Remember, praise him. We can see from this particular psalm and many others, if you want to take a note and read Psalm 13 later in the week, there's another very candid psalm where the psalmist asks, "How long, O Lord, will you be quiet and silent?" Now, there's a couple ways that we can approach this topic, this appearing silence before God. At times, in the spiritual life, that is a call for us to examine ourselves and to look and see if there's any grievance that we are living in, any unconfessed sin, any wrongdoing that we have that is kind of convicting us, that we need to confess before God and receive forgiveness. That can be a reason for feeling God's silence. But we don't have that right here in Psalm 42. There is a clear conscience. He remembers God's fullness. We see that there's signs of an adversary, maybe a foe that is kind of challenging David. And we know from David's conflict with Saul that there were times where David was out hiding and running and he was wondering what was going on. And so we could see evidence of that here. But there's no sign of unconfessed wrongdoing or sin. It's simply a person of strong faith who is experiencing God's quietness, God's silence. Ancient writers in the Christian faith have identified this type of season or moment in your spiritual journey as the dark night of the soul. A dark night of the soul where you know God is there, you've trusted him, you've experienced his goodness and his provision, but your present moment, it's just not there. Your prayers don't seem to be making any difference. You're spiritually dry. You're coming to worship, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, but it just seems to be a little bit harder and more difficult to motivate yourself to do it than it was in the past or at times before. A prominent megachurch pastor, I heard him share several years ago when on a leadership podcast, he was reflecting back to his years of ministry when the church was growing and there was so much happening. And he confessed this in an interview. He said, "My 30s, 40s, and 50s were the most spiritually dry times in my life." I hope that's not normal. but those could be those long seasons where, I mean, it might not even just be a couple of months. It could be years. It could be decades. But you trust God. You again will hope in him and praise him. And what I want us to see, an important point here from Psalm 42, is that I don't want you to think that these seasons are abnormal or strange to people of faith. They actually are a part of being a person of faith. We have encouragement from Psalm 42 that this happens. This can happen for a devoted follower of Jesus, a person who has spent their life following God. You can come to these moments where things feel quiet and things seem dry. I'm going to share a couple of words of encouragement and direction for us so that we can know how to handle these seasons when they come. But it's important to see that this is not a strange thing. This is not an abnormal thing for people of God who remember his steadfast love and they stand on his promises, but their experience is one that maybe God is forgetting me right now. Brutally honest, very direct. If we look at verse, halfway through verse 5, when he says, "My soul is downcast," he says, "I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar." Those would be times of blessing, times where God was very clear in revealing himself to David. That is an important tool that we can use when we're facing these challenging seasons of life where God appears to be silent but is working nonetheless. The downcast soul, which is repeated a few times in this psalm, is that sense of feeling dejected or discouraged, not at your best. And at times we could think about the slumps that we sometimes go through in life. Slump is a term that athletes often use when they're not playing their best game, they're struggling at bat, they can't put the bat on the ball, or they're trying to shoot a basketball and it's just not dropping in the hoop. And you can kind of see that sometimes when players are on the field, when they're struggling with something, a little bit of a mental hurdle that they're going through. And I think for David here in Psalm 42 that he's kind of going through a bit of a spiritual slump. He's going through a bit of a spiritual slump. Ty Cobb was a baseball player back in the early times of the game, and he holds the record for the highest career batting average across his 20-plus seasons of baseball. And one of the things that he would share for advice is that when you're going through a slump, not hitting the ball, you're swinging and missing all the time, he would say, just bunt. Just bunt. Bunting would be where you put both hands on the bat and the ball's coming and you just want to make sure you have contact. Contact with the ball and with the bat. Yesterday, my youngest and I, Leah, were working on her ability to ride without training wheels. There's been a lot of training wheels on the bike and a lot of training wheels off the bike and training wheels back on the bike. And so yesterday we had a few hours where it was just me and her and we were practicing, and I found myself telling this to her, just keep pedaling, just keep pedaling, just keep pedaling. She knows how to stop, but just keep pedaling. And eventually she will feel the bike, find the balance that I know she has, and she will learn how to do it. And when we face those slumps in life, whether it's take a bunt or just keep pedaling, those are key, really basic things for us when we feel and sense that cloud or that distance in our relationship with God. We have hope in Him, but we wonder where He might be. So in closing, I'm going to share just six really brief things that we can do and remember those times when we are facing a sense of distance, when we're kind of wrestling with our souls like we have here in Psalm 42. Where is God? Why have you forgotten me? What can we do to navigate these normal seasons in our Christian life? What are some things that we can do? What can we do to bunt or to keep pedaling when our souls are thirsty and yet God is quiet? Keep saying simple prayers. Oftentimes we will feel like we need to say the right thing and come up with these extravagant words to God. Honestly, when I have found myself a little bit, maybe going through a slump or unsure what to say, I find that the prayers of God help, or God thank you, are some of the most vibrant prayers that I can give when I look across the landscape of my life and I just say a simple, genuine prayer to Him. That's the first advice. The second is to recall a time when God was very clear and very present, and we can see that in Psalm 42. Verse 4, these things I remember when I pour out my soul. Or verse 8, by day the Lord commands His steadfast love. At night His song is with me. Remember those moments where you saw God's hand across your life. Recall them, remember them, cherish them. Remember when you came to faith. Remember when the faith clicked for you in a way that wasn't true before. Recall those times and cling to them because God will provide them again. The third is to talk to somebody, to share with others openly about these challenging seasons that you go through. You're not meant to carry them alone. talk to somebody, share about where you are and that God might seem a little distant or has seemed quiet. Keep practicing your faith in the ways that you can, worshiping, cracking open the scriptures and reading them. Don't diminish those simple steps of continuing to pedal in the life of faith. Because one day the cloud will be lifted. One day this chapter will come to an end and you'll see God's faithfulness. Trust God. Point number five, trust God in these valleys, in these lowlands, because we can see that David in Psalm 42, he had experienced great heights with God. And so he continues to hold on to those even through these challenging seasons in his life. And then six, this is an important one. If the topic of a dark night of the soul or God seeming distant to you, and maybe you've not walked through a time like that that you can remember, be somebody that can pray and give hope to someone else. Because your experience with God is going to be different than somebody else's. And so take time and pray and attend to somebody else and be hopeful for them if they're going through a difficult, challenging season. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." On this side of heaven, that thirst is satisfied in Jesus Christ when he came into this earth, died on the cross, rose from the grave, and he says to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks of this water will never thirst again." And so we trust that. Even when it seems that God is quiet or distant, he's there. And these experiences that we have, these seasons that we're going through, we can trust that the wellspring of eternal life does not run dry, and that one day again, we will praise him. Hope in God. And again, rejoice in your salvation. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Maker and our Creator, you are our Savior. And you alone are the source of goodness and knowledge and the wellspring of life. And we turn our hearts and minds to you fully, recognizing that our present moment and experiences in this life can be up and down, and that we have valleys and we have troubles and we have great mountaintops. So Lord, help us to walk through all those different seasons for the various reasons that they come. Grief, heartache, sadness, conflict, doubt, discouragement, evil. Lord, may our eyes can remain focused on you, the uplifter of our hearts and our souls. Sustain us through these seasons. Help us to cling to hope and to rejoice in you, and help us to be compassionate and sensitive to others who also might feel a bit downcast in their soul. Help us to know how to come alongside gently and lovingly and to bring hope to them. We thank you that you are faithful and that you have made your faithfulness known to us completely through Jesus, your Son, and may we continue to call on him to give us water that will not run dry. Father, we pray for the things that are happening in our church and in our community and around the nation and around our world. We pray that your church, in all of its different forms, would be faithful to your truth, that we would be bold in our witness, and that we'd be people of extravagant compassion and grace. We need your help to do this, Lord. We need your grace. We need your strength. Keep us humble as we seek to do this faithfully as the people of Christ. We pray for our country, and we pray for all the conversations and negotiations and ongoing conflict with Iran. And we ask, Lord God, that you would bring lasting peace, that you would give our leaders and national leaders great wisdom and insight. And we pray, Father, for that part of the world to find stability, of people to have justice, and for a lasting peace in that region. Lord, we pray for the beginning of our women's Bible study that's starting tonight. Would you bless the women that come and gather there? May their conversation and their fellowship be uplifting. May rich and bountiful community be experienced. And we thank you for all the women involved in putting that together and opening their homes. Would you be present and fill the women of First Pres as they begin their book study this evening. We pray, Father, for our young people, our youth and our children. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to teach them about you, to shepherd them and to love them. We pray, Lord, that First Pres would continue to be a place that walks alongside and is a family of faith that builds up trust and love and service to you in the coming generation. So, Father, we pray for your provision of our needs and the directions that we seek to decide upon to be faithful to you in our church. Father, we ask for your perseverance and your spirit as we continue to worship you and respond in song, that you would guide us as we go from this place, scattered across Wichita Falls, seeking your face and seeking to make known your name, Lord. Help us to do that, even in moments where we might sense a distance. May we be remembering that you are constantly at work, even when our perception or our experience is one that is not what we've had in the past. We pray all these things in Jesus' name and with the words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.